Salute or not? Question number 142. Is it wrong to salute the flag? Answer. Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything. Matthew 22:21, Romans 13:7-8. When the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, they could find none occasion, nor fault. Daniel 6:4. Finding him thus faultless, his enemies consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man, for 30 days, save of the king, should be cast into the den of lions. Daniel 6:7. By securing the king's signature on the decree, they sought to effect a situation that must necessarily involve Daniel in an act of rebellion against his king. They knew that though he purposed to render unfailing allegiance to the king, he would not do so at the price of showing disloyalty to his God. Daniel therefore continued to petition his God, as he was wont to do, with the result that he was cast into the den of lions. But the one to whom he prayed saved his life from the hungry beasts. Then there is the notable case of Joseph, who for his unswerving loyalty to the government of Egypt, was exalted to a position sharing the throne with Pharaoh. From these and other Bible incidents, we recognize that anyone's loyalty to his government is his real pledge of allegiance to it, a salute to its flag. Altogether, therefore, we see that while on the one hand one's disloyalty to God is a sin against him, on the other hand one's disloyalty to his government is a sin against it, and indirectly against God also, for disloyalty to one's government is disobedience to the Lord's express command, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Tit. 3:1. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king, as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. 1 Peter 2:13, 14. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Romans 13:1, 2. As the flag is not an idol, or a fetish, but a symbol, a standard, the salute to it is not idol worship, as some think, but rather public confession of one's loyalty to his government, just as baptism is one's confession of loyalty to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. At the command of God, the Israelites made standards, flags according to their tribes, for purposes both of identification and of emblemification of their loyalty to that for which the flag stood. See Numbers 2. Clearly, then, to charge one with idolatry because of his saluting a national flag would be to accuse God of forcing idolatry not only upon his ancient people, but, by their example, also upon the faithful of all time since. So every Christian, if he would be obedient to God's commands, must be loyal to the country in which he lives. Wherefore, as Christians in America, devoted to God, and consequently loyal to the just principles of this free government and E.R. God, first we pledge our hearts, our minds, our hands, our all, to the flag of God's eternal kingdom, and to the theocracy, for which it stands, one people made up of all nations, and bound by the cords of everlasting love, liberty, purity, justice, peace, happiness, light, and life, for all. And second, we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And so long as Old Glory unfurls itself as the emblem of the inviolate principles of its Constitution, so long is our pledge of allegiance to it an inviolate thing.